Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 559.
Today we hear from Kane, who asks,
I've developed as a professional technical writer over the last year. Turns out I'm good as the neutral center and can turn discussions into documented procedures. It's a very interactive process filled with agreed-upon checks and reviews. Fill us in on the relationship between content creator and the entity the creator reports to while creating for something or someone other than themselves. Who are we likely to report to directly, and what is reasonable to expect in terms of a professional relationship? For instance, would that relationship include being able to reach out for advice, or maybe some spitballing?
Oh, Kane, this is a big question. So, as recent events have shown, this is a kind of potentially fraught area, especially if you're doing content creation for a highly visible property. Some of you probably know what I'm dancing around, but if you don't, I'm not going to fill you in because it'll date this. Suffice it to say that there is a corporate image problem that you're always going to be contending with. It's going to constrain your freedom to act while you are in the employ of anyone for whom you are creating content. You're going to be expected, on some level, to toe the line on the corporate culture as far as interactions with the audience, as far as the things that you say as a representative of the company, or indeed the things you say on your own when you're not technically representing the company, if you are in fact known primarily for your work with that company. That has always been a fraught area ever since content farming began, which is one of the reasons why for many, many years, companies that did this sort of thing did not give authorial credit. It's one of the reasons we don't have moral rights in the copyright law in the United States, because the big publishers like the Stratemeyer Syndicate, like a lot of the other early fiction syndicates in the U.S., wanted the ability to simply buy the work and not credit the author, instead credit the house name. And that way, if the author ever got in trouble, it wouldn't bring the house into disrepute. So that's why, for example, the Hardy Boys novels are written by Franklin W. Dixon, and the Tom Swift novels are written by Victor Appleton and Victor Appleton II, if for the Tom Swift Jr. books, and the Nancy Drew books are written by Carolyn Keene. We now know who wrote a lot of those books because the non-disclosure parts of the contracts lapsed, but it wasn't until the 80s that it was possible to put together lists of people who actually wrote the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, the Bobbsey twins, and all those, because they were blind ghostwriting type of jobs. And that still happens quite a lot in the book industry. Almost any celebrity book you see, for example, is not written by the celebrity. The celebrity's name is being used to sell a book written by someone for hire. Sometimes it may be the celebrity's idea. Sometimes the celebrity may have written the rough draft or may do a final draft to add in voice bits, but mostly it's a content farm. Just like most of James Patterson's books now are content farmed out. Patterson does touch everything. He comes up with the stories and then he does the final draft to make sure it conforms to his voice, but the books are all written by other people. Everything you see written under Tom Clancy or Robert Ludlum's names now are the same way. Even the stuff that doesn't say with blah blah blah, because they've been dead for a long time. So if a new book comes out and it doesn't say early discovered work, you know that it's a content farmed book. Whether you're in a technical field or in narrative nonfiction or in memoir or in any of the other larger areas of publishing or fiction, like, for example, I'm a fiction writer, I should know fiction. Anyway, whether you're in any of these areas, the moment you become identified with a company or with a property, especially if it's in a shared world type of context, you have the kind of relationship with that company that an employee has with an employer. With all the upsides, well, at least some of the upsides, you know, like a guaranteed paycheck, for example, at least on a project basis, and all of the downside constraints that can potentially come with that. Just or not, that's simply the way the world has always worked. It's one of the reasons that I work for other people as little as I can, because I don't like having to worry about that stuff. And I have deliberately made decisions over the course of my life to minimize being in those kinds of situations because, I like being myself and I'm willing to sort of take a hit in the paycheck department in exchange for that freedom. It doesn't mean I don't have jobs from time to time, because I do, and I frequently do a lot of client work, but I try not to put myself in a position where I am the public face of somebody else's company, somebody else's brand. I had enough of that crap when I was in sales. Not my thing. As far as idea generation, when you're in the writer's room in any of these places, whether it's a content farm or a blog complex like happens at Gawker Media or a TV show's writer room, or if you're on a regular staff at a place like Cosmo or anything like that, yeah, you're gonna have generally a lot of opportunity for spitballing, for bouncing ideas off people, for having a kind of collaborative thing going on. It can be a lot of fun. You can also have that kind of environment at certain kinds of writers' workshops. It depends entirely on the culture of the writers and their attitude towards what workshopping is for. But a good writers' workshop will give you that sort of creatively rich environment, as will good friends. And of course, if you're co-authoring, you've also got that sort of thing. You can't always expect that. And the further outside of the writing room you are, the less of that you're going to get. Like when I wrote for Linux Journal, for example, I was basically in the magazine monthly, sometimes more than monthly, for about 2.5 years. I was only ever assigned an article 3 or 4 times. Those were product reviews for products that the manufacturer had sent into Linux Journal, and they wanted to review it, and they didn't have anyone to assign it to, so they called me up and they said, "Hey!" And they sent me the product, and I test drove it and reviewed it. Most of the time, that wasn't the case. I think that only happened 3 or 4 times, if I remember correctly. Most of the time, I had to come up with an article idea and pitch it to them. And then they would take it into the editor's room and say, "Well, we have this topic for this month. These are the pitches that have been submitted. These are the writers we worked with before. We like that idea, that idea, that idea, that idea, and that idea. And we don't quite like that idea so much, but we like working with that author, so let's take that and ask them to tweak it a certain way." I wound up in all of those different categories from time to time. I had pitches bounced all the time. I had a lot of pitches picked up, and I had quite a number of pitches where the response was like, "You know, we'd like to do this article, but we don't have an opening for it. Unless you can sort of twist it around to brush against this subject that we're devoting the issue to." So you'll have situations like that when you're a regular freelancer. And of course, when you're doing things like internal documentation, technical writing, you get further inside than the writer's room, you actually wind up with a lot less freedom because you're going to have to do stuff to format, to spec, in a particular style, in a particular voice, absolutely on the button with no room for deviation. So you're not going to have any freedom whatsoever. You will write what you are told to write or you'll go somewhere else. The culture varies a lot from place to place, and the writing market is so wide open now that you will be able to find cultures that mesh with the way you like to work. In fact, if you're looking to expand your technical writing or your periodical writing, one thing you can do is get your clip sheet, you know, your resume of the stuff that you've written that makes you look good, send it in with a letter to the editor, and ask them to tell you about how their process works internally. And, you know, ask intelligent questions. Don't ask stuff you see on the submission guidelines page. You can also quite frequently find what you're looking for on that page. But if that doesn't answer all your questions, write the editor and say, "Hey, I really like your publication. I'd like to join your team. How do things work in your writer's room? How do you deal with conditions like XYZ? And listen to what they tell you, and read between the lines, too. Don't just read the copy, because they'll have a canned, prepackaged response. But you'll be able to tell by how they respond to you a little bit about what the internal culture and writing workflow is like. And if you're really bold and or have an afternoon to waste, You can also phone them up sometimes. You can phone the editor up and talk to them. Not all of them will answer the phone. Some of them will, especially if they seem a little desperate for talent. If they're desperate for talent, they're much more likely to pick up the phone. So I think that hits everything. If there's an aspect of this I didn't touch on as deeply as you'd like, feel free to send in a follow-up. It's always great to hear from you, Kane. Thanks very much, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.